Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster on this hot and muggy but beautiful Sunday here in August. I've just got a couple of announcements to begin with. The first is a huge welcome and thank you to Ralph, who is covering for Steve while Steve is off gallivanting, doing who knows what Steve's doing. But we get Ralph, and that is fabulous. So welcome and thank you for being here. And I think that's the most important announcement. With that, let's take a moment, recognize that we are in a holy place, doing a holy thing. Please stand for our opening hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly gladly and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation from Holy Scripture.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord, the God of gods, has spoken and has called the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God reveals the divine glory.
The God will come and will not keep silence, before whom there is a consuming flame, and round about whom a raging storm.
God calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of this people.
Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice.
Let the heavens declare the rightness of the divine cause, for God alone is judge.
Hear my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God.
I do not accuse you because of your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me.
Consider this well, you who forget God, lest I rend you and there be none to deliver you.
Whoever offers me the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, but to those who keep in my way, I will show the salvation of God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamp lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down and eat. He will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night, so near dawn, and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. One of the things that I forget from time to time is that the authors of the Gospel, those that we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, weren't just divinely inspired scribes who just wrote everything out perfectly. They were human beings too. And when I read this Gospel lesson, I get a sense that they were human beings just like me. See, when I haven't had enough to eat, I get a little hangry. And then when I'm forced to write an email when I'm hangry, it sounds a little bit like this. There's a bunch of things that Luke has taken and stuffed together, and I can almost imagine him as a university student going, okay, well, Matthew said something about the wedding banquet, so I'm going to write that in. Oh, and then there was something about a thief breaking into the house, so I'm going to add that in there too. And just compiled a whole bunch of different readings all together in one that gives us a snippet and something to trigger your memory for each little section. And so it is with great thanks that we have a second reading today as well. And I think that that reading is really quite helpful. And it's the thing that ties it all together. It's talking about faith. And so I wanted to take this opportunity on this muggy and hot Sunday morning when we're in a church that doesn't have air conditioning to talk about faith. Now, for a lot of people outside these walls, faith is simple. Faith is simply shutting off your brain and doing what the guy or gal with the funny collar tells you. A lot of people outside the church thinks faith is simply switching off your brain and doing what you're told by the church. But for those of us in these walls, we know that faith is a lot harder than that. I think the best example of faith that I've ever had growing up was in the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Does anyone know that one? Yeah, it's a classic. And I'm getting older than I think I am. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the part of faith that I love about that one isn't the magic holy grail that Indy finds and drinks and heals wounds. No. The example of faith that I love is the trials that Indy goes through to get to that point. He has to figure things out with his brain. He has to trust that God will provide. And it culminates in this scene where Indy is standing in front of a giant chasm, a huge bottomless pit, and it's too far to jump across. And the clue that he's been given to get through is, "Only from a leap from the lion's head will someone prove their worth." And in a moment, he needs to put out his foot and step forward into that abyss. For those of us who live in faith, it seems like we have to do that more than we care to imagine. Faith isn't just about believing something with your head. Faith isn't about making sure that you've got all the check marks right when we say the creed. Can I go through all of that and say, yep, I do believe that, I do believe that? That's not faith. Faith is trusting in God, even when you have trouble believing that God is there. I want to say that again because I think that's really the heart of this sermon. Faith is about acting like God is there, even when you're not sure that he is. That is hard. That is a hard thing to do. And you'd think that once you've proven yourself once, you can get to that magical chamber with the Holy Grail. But it's not. Each time we step out in faith, each time we trust that God will catch us in whatever situation we find ourselves in, leads us to yet another situation where we struggle to reach out and step out in faith again. Faith is about trusting that God will provide, even when your head says that it doesn't seem to make sense. At some point in our lives, we will all struggle with health concerns, the loss of loved ones. We'll all encounter things in this world that challenge us deeply to the core. It'll make us say, God, why are you doing this to me? Where are you now? It's in those moments that we have to step up and act like God is there. Because that is faith. To have certain knowledge doesn't require any trust, doesn't require putting your heart on the line. Faith is a sacrifice from us. It requires us to trust when trusting is hard. It requires us to live in a world in a way that seems counterintuitive. As if all the things that we say and all the things that we proclaim will happen. Faith sometimes demands a sacrifice from us, that we live in a world of disputed trade policies, trusting that generosity is greater than scarcity. It takes work to have faith. And I think that that's okay. I think it's okay that we don't always get it right, because the grace that God gives us is the chance to try again. Just like when we get it right for one time, we can't rest on our laurels. When we fail, we don't stay there. We're invited through all the things that happen in our lives to choose to act in ways that God would be proud of. That God would act if God was in that situation. Faith isn't about checking off and making sure you believe everything perfectly at all times. Faith is about acting that God is present in this world, even when he doesn't feel close. If we can be a community that holds that as our example, that tries to act in a faith-filled way, even when we're not sure what God is up to, then the grace that will be present will be truly amazing. But that's not easy. And that's why we have one another. We have each other to challenge us, to push us, to make us think deeply, and to try to choose the faithful course, whatever situation we find ourselves in. And I'm thankful for that. The first reading that we had today, the reading from the letter of the Hebrews, looks back in history and says that all of those people, acted in faith, not being sure how it would work out in the end. But they took that leap. They trusted. And it's an invitation for us to do the same. And so, my friends, as we have come in faith to this place to lift our voices in God, let us remember when we go out of these walls, when we go back to our work, when we go back to our daily life, to make choices that are in line with what God has called us to be, even when it feels he's far away. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
God, our strength and joy. Faithful God, we wait on your word, and our hearts rejoice in your loving kindness. Renew our confidence in the promise of your kingdom and the signs of its dawning. Keep your church vigilant and expectant. God, our joy and strength. Faithful God, set our hearts on the lasting treasure of your Son. Keep us from the complacency that is blind to injustice. Extend our concern to new horizons. God, our joy and strength. Faithful God, we pray for all who share our spiritual ancestry, especially Muslims and Jews, fellow sons and daughters of Abraham. We pray for a greater understanding between our faiths, for all that builds and sustains cohesive living. God, our joy and strength. Faithful God, strengthen all who are fearful of the future, all going through a veil of misery and distress. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and raise up the brokenhearted. We think today especially of Catherine, Kelly, Andrew, Diane, Brian, Jocelyn, Chovia, Sherry, Deb, Ronalee, Vicky, Don and Nancy, Andrew, Scott, John, Bill, Beth, Gavin, Linda, Tom, Gail, Mary Lou, Philip, John. God, our joy and strength. Faithful God, prepare us for the day when we will come to share in your eternal banquet. We commend to you those who have died in this hope. Welcome us home to the celestial city you have made ready for your beloved children. God, our joy and strength.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share that peace with one another. Peace of Christ, my friend.
My thought.
Good sermon.
Peace of Christ.
Peace.
Let us pray. Father, receive all that we offer you this day, and grant that in this Eucharist we may be enriched by the gifts of the Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. And now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thank you. God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Oh.
Let us pray. Eternal God, grant to your church the unity and peace that we have tasted in this Eucharist, the fruit of your life-giving Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.